You are listening to WXRWLP Milwaukee 104.1 FM and RiverWestRadio.com globally. I'm your host, NTSC, and welcome to The Anti, a weekly primer on freedom. The Anti is anti-authoritarian, anti-capitalist, anti-hierarchy, anti-sexist, anti-racist, anti-fascist, and more. If we are against so very much, what do we stand for? Well, the ideals of freedom. In this series, we explore what a free society would look like while recognizing that none of us today are truly free. Having said all that, even though the device you're listening on right now likely was not free, the radio waves that you're listening to are. WXRW does cost money to operate, though. To that end, you can always visit the station at 824 East Center Street, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and purchase a hat or a mug or a t-shirt, and all those proceeds will go directly to supporting the station. Or if you particularly enjoy any of the programming on WXRW, please reach out and become an official underwriter. Every little bit does help. Now, you can also dial into River West Radio on your smart speaker of choice. Just tell your listening device at home to play WXRW River West Radio. We're on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you live in Milwaukee and the surrounding suburbs, over the past few months or so, you've most likely seen people riding around on motorized electrical scooters. I've never ridden one, but they looked like a lot of fun. You know, people fly down Lake Drive in pairs or in triples, the wind in their hair and smiles on their happy faces. The scooters were instantly recognizable as being some sort of project. And when they first appeared, as if by random magic overnight, I wondered if they were competition for the now ubiquitous bubbler bicycles that you see people riding every day. The scooters were all patently branded, and you could tell that they were definitely part of the Internet of Things, you know, just by looking at them. And eventually it came to light that they had been dropped off by the company that designed them, Bird, a motorized electrical scooter company based out of Venice, California. And it didn't take long until the controversy hit. Milwaukee is not a very big city, so we do love a good controversy. Why were people suddenly talking about these things? They seemed harmless enough, and I didn't personally see the interest in them. Well, motorized scooters of the kind under which birds are classified are illegal in the state of Wisconsin. Not just the city of Milwaukee, you know, where hundreds of the devices had been dropped off overnight, but the whole state declares such modes of conveyance dangerous and illegal. Being caught riding one could result in a hefty fine of almost $90. So all of this begs the question, how and why did a California company deposit an illegal mode of transportation in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, in the first place? And why am I talking about it? Unsurprisingly, maybe, Milwaukee was not the first city that Bird as a company did this in, and it wasn't the first municipality where their product was deemed technically illegal. And I guess not even technically, just literally illegal. Today's show is about a concept of primary importance in neoliberalism and just liberalism in general as a whole, and that's the rule of law. Here's a figure for you. to date, this being 2018, August of 2018, Bird has raised more than $400 million in venture capital and is currently valued at $2 billion as a company. The company's operating procedure is to leverage its significant financial resources to get the laws of the cities in which they operate and in which they want to expand, or to which they want to expand. They want to leverage their resources to get the laws of those cities and municipalities changed to their advantage. So, for example, just this year, the company has sponsored a bill in California, their home state, to the state legislature to make it legal to ride motorized scooters without wearing a helmet, and also to make it legal to ride them on sidewalks. So right now in California, you're required to wear a helmet whenever operating a motorized scooter, and you're also not allowed to ride them on sidewalks. Both of those things are considered dangerous. So the modus operandi of Bird is kind of to follow the old adage, it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission. Or in their case, maybe to be more accurate, they're saying that they're operating under would be, it's better to break the law and then get it changed than to follow it in the first place. So why am I talking about the rule of law when I personally, and the anti as a program, is decidedly against all laws and all forms of the rule of law? Well, the situation with Bird and the fights that it picks with municipalities is a prime and timely example of how the rule of law actually functions. What are laws really supposed to do? Fundamentally, I think most people who believe in the tropes of neoliberalism would argue that the law is intended to keep people from harm. The law is supposed to be blind, treat everyone equally, and punish those who operate outside of its limitations. It uses punishment as a deterrent for potential criminals. Punishment comes in the form of monetary fines and penalties, court-ordered community service, and, of course, imprisonment. The Bird model not only flies in the face of this system entirely, it sheds light on the many ways in which this system doesn't work and can never work, especially within the framework of a neoliberal capitalism. Bird, as a corporate entity, has money. It has resources to hire lawyers and lobbyists. Those advocates can then enter into the legal environment and fight for changes to the laws as they currently exist on behalf of Bird and or really any corporate entity that they're hired by. You and I cannot do that. We don't have the financial power or resources to hire lawyers and lobbyists to change the laws on our behalf. And just in case you had any illusions in your head that companies can't just buy changes to the laws that impact their business, you know, and their potential profits, an independent study performed by the Journal of Law and Politics found that on average, a company can get a value of $220 per single dollar they spend on lobbying. And I'm not a mathematician, but I'm pretty sure that a 220% return on investment is pretty good. To belabor the point, and it's worth belaboring, it goes further and is much more insidious even than that 220% return on investment. An expose published by the New York Times found that key pieces of legislation dealing, for example, with huge financial institutions are literally written by the lobbyists representing those institutions. So the laws themselves are not even written by lawmakers. They are literally written by lobbyists. And I'm using the word literally here correctly. As an example, a certain piece of legislation that made us taxpayers financially liable and responsible for bailing out very large banks was written word for word, line for line, by Citigroup's lobbyists. A full 75 of the 80 lines of the law were verbatim taken from Citigroup's proposed draft for that new law. And this happens for every business and type of corporation across the board. Lobbyists for chemical companies literally author the laws that repeal environmental protections, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it goes on. So let's go back to California. The piece of legislation drafted by Byrd's lawyers aimed at removing those helmet laws, that is expected to become law. Through lobbying, the expectation is that the proposed legislation on the part of Byrd will pass without any comment or hiccup. Companies with the backing of venture capital and the power of profits can afford to hire lobbyists. Through those channels and by dint of those advocates, companies can and do write the laws that dictate what we can and cannot do. They write the laws that affect the environment in which we all live. Companies write the laws that change the face of our planet and put millions of people behind bars. That's the second terrifying half of this equation. Let's go back to our Byrd example, right? Which seems pretty harmless. If you were caught operating a Byrd scooter, under the laws as they are written, you were responsible for a $90 fine. We are so used and accustomed to accepting fines as a penalty for criminal activity that we rarely pause to really consider just how unfair they are and how biased against the poor they are and how biased in the favor of the rich they are. Fines take the form of a flat dollar amount. So in the case of a Byrd operating citation, $90 for me is a very significant percentage of my income. I think for most people, $90 is a pretty big deal. We can't afford to just throw away $90 on a lark. The world is full of fines and penalties that we all face on a daily basis. Do you drive a car? Can you afford insurance? Can you afford off-street parking? If you can't and you get towed, this is the menu of fines and fees that face you. This comes directly from the Milwaukee.gov page. It'll cost you $105 to reclaim your vehicle, plus a storage fee of $30 per day for indoor parking. If your vehicle was towed by a flatbed truck, the reclamation fee is $125. In addition, if you are an uninsured driver, add $25 for city staff to drive your vehicle off the tow lot. If you cannot afford off-street parking, you are continually punished by the threat of being ticketed and towed. There is a list of all parking citation costs on the Milwaukee.gov website. Most citations cost $30, with some going as high as $50 in the case of a snow emergency or $200 for being in a handicapped zone. Reading through this list, though, of citations, there is a specific citation that seems especially cruel when you do just a little thinking behind it. So this citation is just labeled junk stored or collected in vehicle. And it's a $60 fine. So are you living out of your car because you're houseless in a city where rent continues to rise? Well, if you get caught living in your car, you can be fined $60 that you almost assuredly don't have. Fines and fees of this nature reveal just how rigged the rule of law really is. If you have money, you can break most of our laws because you can afford to pay the penalty for your criminal activity. And it's just money after all. I should mention here that neither the Anti nor WXRW River West Radio benefit or have anything to gain by drawing attention to the costs of Milwaukee County's citation and tow lot fees. To our knowledge, there is no competing for-profit organization collecting funds from Milwaukee County citations. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to WXRW River West Radio 104.1 FM, and this is The Anti, a weekly primer on freedom. I'm your host, NTSC, and this week we're discussing the rule of law. We'll be talking a lot more about the rule of law as the weeks continue. Today we're kind of touching on the dual system of this whole kind of machine that that operates on multiple levels. So the rule of law simply does not apply to the very rich. We'll go back a few years for this example. Ethan Anthony Couch killed four people with his car while driving under the influence of alcohol. Four human lives were lost because of this young man's direct actions and negligence. When his case came to trial, his lawyer defended Ethan by describing him as being afflicted with a peculiar disease which he dubbed affluenza. His lawyer's defense basically stated that because Ethan was extremely affluent and wealthy, he had never faced repercussions for any of his poor choices and was incapable of understanding that his actions held consequences. So, the judge took pity on Ethan and gave him probation. Ethan immediately broke that probation and moved to live in a resort in Mexico. An independent research group called the Sentencing Project released a report that found that there are two criminal justice systems working in parallel to one another in America. There is a criminal justice system for the rich, and there is a separate and much harsher system for the poor and for minorities. Rich Americans interact with a completely different justice system than poor Americans do. They are treated differently in every step of the process, and their outcomes are generally the opposite of the outcomes experienced by the poor who are entering into their parallel justice system. And perhaps what is most infuriating about this whole situation is that we all know that this is true. We all know this is how things operate. We all know that the very rich never face repercussions for their crimes. Their actual crimes against the laws as dictated by the legal system. Even when the super rich cannot buy the changes to the laws, positively impact their businesses and their personal profits, and so they just break those laws anyway, they still face no repercussions because they are inherently protected by their financial resources. The anarchist Lucy Parsons was quoted as saying, "Will you deny that your jails are filled with the children of the poor, not the children of the rich? Will you deny that men steal because their bellies are empty? A very visible, very visual example of this this kind of inequality unfolding even now is in Flint, Michigan. So the judicial pursuit of the events leading up to the Flint water crisis, which, by the way, still has no resolution. Those judicial pursuits continue to fail in every regard when it comes to justice. So Governor Rick Schneider, who profited handsomely from poisoning the inhabitants of Flint, Michigan, has yet to face any legal or financial repercussions for his horrifying actions. And truly nobody expects that he will face any, because that's not how the system works, and we all know it. Yet somehow, the majority of Americans still believe that the rule of law is this crucial pillar of sound and functional society, when in fact, the rule of law is a symptom of a society that is profoundly sick and fatally, dangerously dysfunctional. Back to Bird. Milwaukee County has sued the company, and for the time being, Bird is fleeing the scene of their crime. What does the future hold for their interests in Milwaukee and the Midwest in general? Well, that will be up for the courts to decide. The Wisconsin State Legislature is not in session again until January of 2019. That's a pretty comfortable job, huh? A lawmaker. You get to dictate the terms of the lives of millions of people, and you only work 121 days a year. You get giant payouts from lobbyists and lawyers, and you never face real repercussions or consequences for your actions. At least, certainly not to the degree that real citizens do. If I was going to allow myself to succumb to cynicism, I would hazard a guess that Wisconsin and in turn Milwaukee County will become friendly to Bird and motorized scooters when they reconvene. Large swaths of money have a way of influencing decisions like that. I would bet that the laws will change in favor of Bird and their competitors, and we'll see motorized scooters on the streets of Milwaukee again. And if I were to allow myself to truly succumb to cynicism, I would hazard a guess that personal, privately owned scooters will not be included in those negotiations. Only those owned and operated by highly profitable third-party companies such as Bird and their ilk, who have the lobbying power to write the laws as they see fit. Really, that's how our laws get written these days. They are drafted and vetted and pushed through by large corporate interests. And why not? That's how the capitalist form of production was inevitably going to evolve. And to expect anything different is, you know, pretty naive. So what can you do about it? Well, it's always worth mentioning that the views of the anti do not reflect the views of WXRW River West Radio. The views of the anti are only my own, the views of NTSC, your host. And I don't think you can do anything about it, at least within the rigid structures that have been very purposefully crafted and dictated by the powers that be. And those powers are obviously the moneyed capitalist classes. To take some of the language from Pyotr Kropotkin, from whose book *The Conquest of Bread* we were reading the past few weeks, it's the monopolists and the industrialists, and they're the ones that control this society. They're the ones who dictate these laws. Do you remember when you were a kid and you were given a choice? They gave you the option of what coat you would like to wear. Instead of posing the question, do you want to wear a coat? You know, do you want to wear your red coat or your blue one? Well, not wearing a coat was never an option. Wearing your jacket was never an option. You never got to actually have a real choice because a false dichotomy was offered up to you as the only true possibility. Well, right now within this system, we are in a similar false dichotomy. And that's not to say that a green coat is the answer to the problem either. If you want to see a change to this fundamentally insane system, I believe that it behooves us all to break free from it by helping one another. Thank you so much for tuning into The Anti here on WXRW River West Radio. I've been your host, NTSC. I'll be back again next week to discuss further topics as they relate to freedom and our awesome shared potential. Past episodes can be found at creamcitymedia.com/anti. More information about the show can be found on riverwestradio.com.